Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing tech show. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing tech show.
Hey, 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 this is the Linux Link Tech Show this fine Wednesday, June 23rd, 2004. My name is Link, and I will be coughing at you regularly today. Been sick for a few days this week, so I'm just, you know, over here licking Dan's keyboard for him. In the interim, why don't you all get yourself logged in on our wonderful chat forum over there. Point your favorite chat client to thelinuxlink.net and join us at Pound Tech Show so we can all talk back and forth while the show's running. It'd be a lot easier than me talking to you today, I can tell. But we're going to come back at you in just a minute. Take that opportunity to join us up there, and we'll be right back.
Hi folks, this is Link from the Linux Link Tech Show. Have you ever thought to yourself, I have a question for these guys? Or I wonder if they would review my product? Or why don't they talk about this? Or maybe I sure would like to support these fellas somehow? Or just, how do I get in touch with them? Well, the easy answer is to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. You can let us know any questions, suggestions, or information you might have, and perhaps even get mentioned on the show. Email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net and let us know how we're doing and whether or not you enjoy the show. And also catch us on IRC every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern by pointing your favorite IRC client to our server, thelinuxlink.net, and joining channel Pound Tech Show. Hope to see you there.
Now, class, what do we learn about today?
Tech show.
And what do we do with the tech show, children?
Listen, damn it.
And who's your favorite tech show host?
Link.
Very good, class.
That's right, children. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and get your Linux education on the Linux Link Tech Show.
Oh boy. And just when you thought it was safe to take a nap, here it is, time again for me to talk. Again, hi, this is the Linux Link Tech Show this wonderful Wednesday, June 23rd. And this is Link Fessenden here with Dan Mochko and Alan, who's, you know, busting to talk tonight, I'm telling you.
No, not really, but...
I have some kind of...
Dan intent over there.
Yeah, Dan's intently...
Like compiling something else now.
I'm
looking
again
for
today.
Something.
The second we walk in here, Dan is on his computer, hurriedly, typing the shit out of something. What the hell are you doing this time, man?
It never fell. Out of the way and just started to go to work.
8:30, he's like got some project he's got to do, you know, before the show starts. It's hysterical. I should keep like a log file of because, you know, nothing goes on all week, right? Nothing.
Well, it's time for the tech show.
Yeah, it's time for the tech show. And he's like, oh man, I got to do something Linux now, you know? So,
He runs upstairs at 8:30 right before the show and finds some project to compile or something.
That's not true. It happens every time I'm in the middle of having to go somewhere or do something is when I have to do my project right before we leave. See, that project I was working on was an extension of we went out to the Chinese buffet for dinner because the kids aren't here with my parents.
Oh.
I thought it was a little quieter tonight.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it.
And we were
That's right. I walked in, your wife was so pleasant and, and you know.
Happy and
she
everything.
She was all happy and stuff. And it was...
Well,
changing atmosphere.
In order to get back here in time, like we decided to leave, it was like around 7 o'clock. But before I could leave, I was working on that font problem. And then I decided, wow, I got to download the newest OpenOffice. So I had to download the newest OpenOffice and install it before we could leave. Because, you know,
That's 1.1.2 now?
Yeah. Because like you're sitting there, you're thinking, well, I got to get back by 8 o'clock. It's 7 o'clock now. The wife's putting on her shoes. I got enough time to unpack and install OpenOffice and set it up under my user account, right?
Sure.
There we go. But, yes, OpenOffice 1.1.2 has been released, which updates and stuff and looks really nice. I didn't get a chance to play too much with it. When I fired it up and I started to do a document, the first thing I looked to see about exporting in the Flash format, whether that was still there, and it wasn't there. And I got worried. But I found out that...
They moved it in the menu or something.
Well,
right?
No. I thought that you can take a Word document, Word processing document from the writer and convert it into Flash, but it's not. It's the presentation or the drawing
right.
that you can convert into Flash. So I was mistaken. So that feature is still there because I couldn't find it, and then I went to their site, and that was one of the features that they tout is export into a Flash format. So... Nevertheless, it's still there. Unfortunately, the 1.1.2 version is not yet available for OS X. So,
oh.
Which stinks. Because the 1.1
Well, it doesn't matter because like you have Gentoo running on your iBook, right?
Right.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, but I don't want to have to shut down, boot in a Gentoo,
but you
to
don't
open
have
up a
to
document.
Shut down if you just keep running Linux, man. You know.
Yeah, but I know, but I can do that, and I can run OS X under Mac on Linux. But you know, that's a whole lot of excessive system resources being wasted there. So, I look forward to when they finally release the most updated version of OS of OpenOffice for OS X.
Yes.
And, you know, and speaking of releases, Slackware 10 was released today.
That Ooh. Is cool. Yeah.
So, I know I'm going to have to update the server, but my main workstation is already running current.
Okay, now here's a question for you, though.
Hey, you just upgraded to 9.1, didn't you?
Yes, I did. and that's why I want to ask this question. And I'm sure like you, a lot of you people who listen to the show know that we're all Slackware fanatics, or most of us anyway, are Slackware fanatics around here. And... what I want to know is, like, if we have a Slackware 9 or a Slackware 10 box, and we have or a Slackware 9 or 9.1 box, we have Soiret installed. How exactly can you update an existing system to the new 10.0 release? And since you are the kernel dude, you should have a good answer for me, Dan.
Simple. All you need to do is change in your Soiret configuration that you want to, instead of 9.1 or 9, whatever, change it to 10.
Yeah, but isn't that in the Soiret conf, that's like it's the base package that it's asking for, right?
What do you mean base package?
Let me look in the conf file.
Well, you change the version, and then it downloads all the packages for the version. But you have to be careful, because there's a couple of packages that it won't download, even if they're updated. Like glibc, I think, is one. Glibc.
Right, well, it's set. You set your version in the Soiret conf file.
Right.
Like here on my laptop, it's version 9. Now, if I wanted to go to version 10, couldn't I just say version equals current and do an update?
You could do current, but current isn't 10.
Okay.
Current is now 10.01 beta or epsilon or whatever you want to call it, because if he makes a change tomorrow or starts working towards 10.1 and he updates to a current, that's not necessarily 10 anymore. That's a little beyond 10. 10.1, 10 is stable,
right.
But current is developmental. So there is a difference.
See, now I thought you had to like keep your root version the same or something like that. And then what about the, you know, doing the kernel upgrades and crap like that too?
Well, you would have to. If you don't do your own
kernel...
Because
you have, like, in the exclude, you know, it excludes kernel and Lilo and Soiree.
Yeah, you just remove that out of there.
And you do KDE.
Yeah, you. What I would recommend is you would remove that and
just
manually
like
download...
Just set the version to 10 and remove all the excludes and...
Yeah.
Let
but
it go?
You want to get... You probably... It should be set up to do, like, a few packages first. Glibc, I think, is one of them. Because I'm not looking at my conf file right here. There's a couple of them. I think there's two or three files that, if there's a new version, it installs those first.
Okay.
Yeah, so you definitely want to get the kernel then at that point, too. Now, like myself, I don't get the kernel because I'm on 2.6, so I'm always ahead of what they're releasing on the kernel.
Well, plus you always compile your own.
Right.
Your own kernel. I'm talking like for those, you know, nitwits like me who
use
the standard Slack
kernel. You just download the kernel, or you just swaret the kernel down and install it, and then it'll change your VM line. You just got to run Lilo.
Uh-huh.
And that's it. I've cool. I've done the update with swaret like that. But it's simple. And then just...
Cool. I like to try. I wonder... I wonder, you know... Because I have 9.0 on my laptop here. I really would like to get 10 on it. That would be really cool. However, like going from 9.0 to 10, dude, I would have to update every damn file. So it's going to take, you know,
now,
a considerable amount of time to suck it across
the
net, right?
The high-speed stuff here. I do my updates over here.
Yeah, right. Hey, come on over to the tech show and update. One of the things you might want to consider, though, is...
I should, like, do a local mirror or some crap on my server. Oh.
They have switched 10, and they have switched from X-Free to X-Org. So when it swarets it, I'm not sure if the X-Org package has been set up to remove the old X-Free.
Okay, so then you would have to go and
you would have to
remove
it.
Package
right,
X-Free.
If it didn't do it automatically. I don't know. I removed my X-Free, and then I installed the X-Org when I did it.
Nifty.
So that's the way it be.
Yeah.
Money homes, yo. And speaking of new things, I need to fix this table or something because my microphone is like wobbling
just, like,
all over the place.
Screw your microphone into the base there, buddy.
Oh, that would help.
Yeah, that's because I see it like wobbling around on
it's
you.
It's hanging like a... it's dangling like a limp one.
Dan's got his porno microphone over here.
Anyway, out with the old, in with the new. Sad to say, tonight is the last night for Shasta.
Yeah,
tomorrow,
that's sad, man.
Tomorrow, she's, we suspect now her kidneys are going because she's like drinking 4 toilet bowl fulls of water a day and peeing like a racehorse all over the house. That's why it stinks. And today I took her outside and she... walked down the back steps and fell head over heels down the steps and hit the patio, and her head bounced into the sandbox, which is filled with water. And then she rolled over and it fell back into the sandbox again. So it was like a double dip. And she can't really... It's hard for her to go to the bathroom because she can't stand up to go to the bathroom. She ends up dragging it. So, you know, it's about that time. So we made the appointment for tomorrow morning, which kind of sucks, but we got to tell the kids tonight and everything.
They're not going to be here, right?
Tonight?
When are your kids coming back?
Tonight.
Oh, they're coming back tonight?
Yeah.
Oh.
But they're not going with us to the vet tomorrow. They're going over to a friend's house. And it kind of stinks.
Do we have the trumpets here?
No, I don't even have the trumpets, man. That
yeah,
does
come
suck.
On, where's the trumpets?
That does suck, though.
You didn't even know Ronald Reagan, but now you're going to play no trumpets for the dog.
I don't know where they went. I might still have them.
But on a lighter side, my wife went to yard sales this week, garage sales, and came home with a kitten.
Interesting thing to get at a garage sale.
Yeah.
I don't really like this antique. I'll take it.
Yeah, right. Usually they come home with like a lamp or something, right?
Well, I mean, she came home with a lot of stuff, but she got a kitten. It's because that's what we need is another cab. But it's a great, great kitten. It's half Manx, so only has a stubby little tail. Like, yeah. There was three kittens, one with a full tail, one without a tail, and there was this one in the middle with a stubby little tail. But, you know, I was thinking today, right before the show, you know how, like, I have to leave?
I mean, you're really having problems with that microphone, aren't you, Dave?
Yeah. You know, like, I have to leave or I start working on something, and I'm late for the show, and I go to Wawa? Well, on the way to Wawa, I was thinking, you know, I don't really have something foul to talk about tonight, so it's going to be a clean show. But then I remembered, no, I'm wrong. I do have something foul to talk about
tonight. Man, here we go. The hoagie guy.
No.
Number two.
No. Well, see, this kitten, right? The first day it was here, scared as all heck, all skittish and everything, went over and used this litter box. And, you know, next thing I know, I pick it up, and, like, there's a chunk of shit still stuck in his butt. And it's like his little butt there, right by the tail, is all swolled up because his big chunk of poop didn't come out. And it, like, weirded me out. I'm like, it's probably
log,
kidding.
Log, yeah, nothing. Heavy, it's wood.
nothing. I don't know what to do. And you got to be careful because if you pick it up, then you get it all over yourself. It's kind of gross and disgusting.
Ew.
Well, anyway, finally, it pooped it out eventually, and everything was good. But last night, I was playing with the cat. I was feeding it. Then I went to the bathroom again. The same thing happened. But this time, the cat was, like, meowing, like it hurt and everything. And I felt so bad for it. And, you know, it almost looks like a huge boil on his butt. It really swells up that much. And I'm thinking, what the heck can I do? Like, I'm thinking maybe I can pop it like a pimple, right? But I didn't want to hurt the cat. So I'm thinking, well, it's there. And it looked hard and everything. Maybe it's just, if I could find a toothpick, I could scrape it out or something.
Oh, man.
But I couldn't find a toothpick. And I was a little concerned about it. So then I went into the kitchen and I grabbed a fork. Because I figured if I grab the knife, I have risk of actually cutting the cat's rectum or something. And I hear it's really bad if you cut a rectum or the inside of a rectum. I guess you don't want that to happen. So I started, you know, just scrape at it a little bit to try and get it out. And little bits and pieces were coming out. And the cat was, like, howling and trying to get away and everything.
Jeez, sticking a fork up his cat's butt. Oh, yeah. I wonder why it's howling.
Well, I eventually gave up on it because I didn't want to hurt the cat. And we really weren't making any progress. And it didn't look like it was in pain anymore. Anyway.
Not from that, at least.
Jeez.
Anyway. Needless to say, the cat's doing fine. I went out on the web and tried to look this up, but I couldn't. The only thing I could find, the closest thing, was possible constipation.
That's really what I was going to say. The cat's constipated, right? Give it.
But it looked really, you know, frightening.
Did you give it, like, milk or anything like that? Or
did I give it milk?
What have you been feeding it since you got it home?
It's been having, you know, the regular kitten food and, you know, some water. We haven't been giving it milk. We gave it a little bit of milk, but we haven't been giving it too
just
much.
Just don't give it any more milk.
No, this
well, no, milk does the opposite. It gives him diarrhea and stuff like that.
I gave
what
a little bit of
say.
Milk
if
last night.
If she's constipated,
night.
Give her just a little bit of milk. And
I gave a little bit of milk last night.
She's intolerant, I think.
Oh, that was fine.
So it's like,
it might be the hard caffeine. Like, you know, a little bit of milk or maybe a little, you know, a little of that wet food or something like that.
So that should be the end of the off-color topics for the evening.
No, because now that you brought up the cat topic, I have a cat.
Oh, you got an off-color
myself.
Story?
It's not exactly off-color, but it's funny. My cat, my newest cat, that we rescued from, like, living under cars in my street, is a long-haired cat. And this is my first long-haired cat, right? And you know how long-haired cats, they have this really thick, dense undercoat?
Yeah.
You know? And, well, she's got this, and it's, you know, she's shedding, but it's just not coming out fast enough. And this dense undercoat has collected around her back end, and it's getting twisted and stuff like that. So she's got these knots on the back side of her. She's really, really sensitive. I guess it's kind of like having dreadlocks or something like that. You know, they twist up and they get tight and they pull and stuff like that, and it hurts. So my wife and I have been talking about this for a couple weeks now, and we decided that, you know, I have this shaver thing, like a pet shaver, and we decided that, you know, we're just gonna shave these.
Clipper on there.
No, I'm just gonna shave bald it right off, you know, shave it right down to skin, just right at the one little couple of areas on either side of her tail where she keeps getting these knots that she's all sensitive about. Well, don't you know that cats really do not they do not appreciate having a moving loud razor stuck to their ass. It's not a pretty thing. They don't like it at all. My wife is like holding onto this cat wrapped in a towel. It's screaming like you're stabbing it to death, right? It's just going crazy. And my wife keeps, you know, pulling away, jerking away from me because she thinks she's hurting the cat, right? Because she's holding it hard. But, you know, in reality, the cat's like, you know, you're shaving my ass, get away from me. And so anyway, I was like, you know, and I'm sick, right? So I can't breathe or anything like this. You know, try and laugh when you can't breathe. It's really tough. And so I'm trying to shave this cat's ass. And it took us probably like a half an hour to get these, just this little teeny, you know, maybe a half a square inch of cat shaved down, right? It was some kind of adventure, let me tell you. Yeah, you just have to, you know, I can't describe it any better because I can't breathe now, but you have to kind of imagine it a little bit. But
did you shave it down to the skin?
Oh, yeah.
There's a big bald spot on the back.
No, well, see, that's the thing. The long-haired cats, I got...
It's like a tail.
you can't even hardly tell. You know what I mean? Because the fur overlaps where I didn't shave like a big patch just for...
Was it a male cat?
No.
Oh.
Female. But, man, she was not happy at all. Not at all.
You know what?
It was a bad
thing. One thing I forgot to mention. When I went to Wawa today, I found the really coolest thing for this week. And I picked up these things right here. Check this out. Gummy eyeballs. And I picked one up, and then I said, well, if I love it, the kids got to love it.
Oh, yeah.
And I picked some up for the kids, and I said, well, I can't just get for the kids because then you guys are here, and maybe you love it. So I got you gummy eyeballs, too, because I didn't want you to feel left out. Alan, what do you one. You want blue or blue?
I'll go with blue.
All right. You can't go wrong. So
thank you.
These look pretty cool, and I guess they're edible.
Get out, man.
But it just looked really neat. They were 50 cents a pop.
They jiggle, too. That's cool.
And,
gummy eyeballs.
Gummy eyeballs. All right.
The veins are just on the plastic wrapper, but still, you get the feel. That is neat.
Oh, dude, you're going to have to take, like, a picture of one of these and put them up on the website or something.
Yeah, they are really.
So they know what we're talking about.
You know what? I will do that.
Gummy fisheye. Was it Googles? Oogles.
Yeah, they have them. I guess they're at Wawa now.
And that's cool.
I go to Wawa.
Everyone has
like
to
every
run
day.
Out and get the gummy
sick.
Eyeball.
I love it. It's awesome.
It's really neat. So I'm sure my kids are going to love them. So maybe we should talk about some technology things.
Yeah. Hey, well, we started out good, man. We went right into, you know.
Ooh, that's that funny smell on my fingers.
Gee, I thought it was Alan.
Alan, Alan, I got a fork. Do you have something stuck? Anyway, yesterday I read somewhere, and I can't find it now, which is a bummer, an editorial on Linux driver support. And yesterday's Linux show, if you had listened to it, which I know you probably did because you were sick, right, Link? Listen to the Linux show last night.
That's what you think made me sick, man.
Anyway, it was brought up on the show that, and anybody out there who's listening, who's on the chat, if you can track down this article, it would really be helpful because I forget where I read it and I can't find it right now. But basically, the guy was, in a sense, making a point that Linux driver support and is kind of shoddy. And not just the shoddy, it's not easy for like Joe average user to be able to get his or her scanner running or her digital camera or a wireless device in Linux.
Was it on Slashdot?
Was it on Slashdot?
I think it was because it sounds familiar. It sounds familiar. I got to take a look.
And basically saying on the lines that, hey, you guys that are writing the drivers, you got to do a better job. And then last night on the Linux show, one of the facts that was brought up is a lot of times the companies don't permit drivers to be written, so to speak, or don't release the information so that drivers can be written effectively.
Right. They don't give
and
you the
developers
they don't give
have
the hardware
to
specifications. That's
right. The developers have to, in a sense, reverse engineer.
Sure.
Well, I was thinking about this myself, and I kind of have a little bit of commentary to add to this that kind of slices through both of those viewpoints, in that those people who are writing the Linux drivers, I, for one, think they're doing a phenomenal job. Because without their efforts, there's a whole lot of devices that I use on a regular basis that I would not be able to use.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Most of the guys are, you know, most of the people are doing it for nothing. So
right. You know. And what I think is kind of unfortunate, and I was thinking about this on the drive to Wawa, in addition to my cat's butt, one of the things that I have noticed is with Linux, unlike other operating systems, with the exception of, I think, Mac OS X, but even so, you get a whole ton of drivers with the kernel standard. And then applications like Sane, Gphoto, they come with their own drivers to support devices. So now you have the kernel developers and the application developers are actually supplying the drivers, which is almost the reverse of what happens in the Windows environment, where, you know, you have an application like Sane, which would be your scanning application. You have to get the right driver from the manufacturer.
Right.
So, I mean, think about that there. The developers of the applications and the kernel are providing the drivers. The manufacturers aren't. And I think that's a weird turn of events. And, you know, to those people who are writing those drivers, man, thank goodness that they're doing it. And it's a shame that the manufacturers are not stepping up. A lot of them aren't. I mean, there's manufacturers
that
are. I mean, Epson supplies for their
HP.
HP. And
Lexmark.
Lexmark. And I think, Cisco a little bit, and Linksys a little bit. Netgear and I think D-Link for some of them. Broadcom's still the one that's being a pain in the butt with their newer A11G. There
even
it is.
With their older
the
stuff,
Driver article.
A11V stuff.
Which has been posted on the chat. Anyway, it's great. Last night, I had to scan in an article, a form actually, that I needed to convert into a PDF file. And typically I do that. I scan it in through Sane. And I used the GIMP to take out all the blemishes and everything and then make it into a PDF so it can be usable at work. Well, I haven't used my scanner in a couple of weeks. And when I went to go use the scanner, it wasn't working anymore. And it's because I switched to the 2.6 kernel and I have libusb on my system and the USB support compiled into the kernel.
Right.
And the whole device structure changes. Which is interesting, because, you know, once something doesn't work or I can't get it to work properly, the first thing I do is go to the best resource, Google, and start looking up. And I managed to hit right on the money, found out that with the new libusb, the device system actually changes.
Right.
You're accessing it through the USB file system, and it gets a different identification number that you don't access it through dev anymore, like DEV USB USB scanner. Now it's libusb, and I think the bus and device number, which proposes an interesting problem. Now with Sane, in order to get my USB scanner to work, all I had to do was tell it was a USB scanner and point it to the USB device. Now what I need to do is I need to point it to the libusb, and that can change depending on what port I have it plugged into, what other USB devices I have, what time, you know, whether it was recognized at what point. So it makes it hard to edit the comp file for the Epson Sane backend. If that changes, now that comp file is rendered useless. So it makes it difficult for a single user to actually maintain that aspect of the system, the USB scanner drivers. And I'm sure that that's not the only driver issue that will pop up with the switch to the USB file system. So while I think the developers are doing a wonderful job, there's still some steps that need to be taken to make it a little more user-friendly for Joe Average to be able to plug in a new device into their system and get it working with minimal amount of hacking the configuration files and jumping through hoops and Google searches. So there's still, you know, definitely some way to go with regards to that. And that's not so much the driver support now as the actual configuration and accessibility of the devices.
Right. Precisely.
But still, I think they're doing a great job. One of the downsides with open source is the constant development and documentation, trying to keep documentation up to par with the development of the new features and changes in the application. This is a very difficult task. So all you non-programmers out there, one of the best ways that you can help out is through contributing documentation, learning the actual applications, how they work, and get to go.
Get to go.
Get to go.
What Dan said.
Right. And what else was I going to say on that topic, Link?
I don't know. You didn't tell me before. You just said you were going to talk about something about your scanner. So.
Well, the scanner. I'm impressed with how well that Sane has always worked over the years for me with my scanner.
You know,
it's done a
really
phenomenal job.
I have to find a good list of inexpensive Linux-compatible scanners. Anyway, I really would like to get one because I have, you know, I have all of these. I maintain a large digital photograph collection. But I have a lot of photographs that are
Struggle
not digital.
Photos, yeah,
yeah, that I really would like to get digital. And other than me running over here and hogging your scanner on
ago,
you,
I
really
it's really
need
hard
it.
To get good pictures scanned in at times. Unless you're scanning in the negatives, it's sometimes really hard to get, you know, take a 4x6 and get it all lined up straight. That when it scans, it's not all crooked and everything.
I got to do something, though. You know what I mean? I would like to get them. I'd like to get all my stuff, my pictures in a digital format so that I could have,
well, I'd love
you know,
to
I'd
that.
Maintain multiple copies in different places and stuff. Like, I mean, God forbid, if you have a fire or something, that's some things that you'd like to really keep that, you know, once they're gone, they're gone.
Yeah.
And if you can get them in a digital format, well, you know, just like anything
else. Put
it on
several different servers.
Yeah, it's really important. Yeah. Stick it on a couple extra CDs and, you know, leave one in your, you know, in your bank box or send it to your parents' house or something, you know? And that'd just be the thing to do. I mean, granted, it's going to take 100 million years for me to scan all the crap in that I don't want to scan in, but first I have to find I want a really inexpensive scanner.
Go over to the same website. They have a fantastic hardware compatibility list. And, you know, if you have Sane on there, you could look in the back ends, which is in the simple way to go is in Etsy, Sane.d, which will show you all the configuration files for the back ends.
Uh-huh.
And then you can go to the library for Sane. I think it's either in the Sane library or whatever. But you can see the back ends and then read all the manual pages for the back ends. Mostly, Epson and HP, I think, have pretty good support. I would suspect Canon does, too. And you can get a scanner for, like, $40. Like, a couple years ago, I paid $60 for that Epson right there. And it's worked great. It has fantastic support in Linux.
Well, that's what I needed. That's what I want to do, man. That's definitely...
I'll tell you what. We have, at work, on they bought Agfa scanners, which were purchased brand new... After I bought that, and when I scan in on that thing, that sucker flies. But you scan in at work, and it's like, and then I got a preview. And then, you know, you choose your scanning thing, and then it's got to go all the way back. It's like, you know,
to buy one just for the noise.
That's, no
yeah,
doubt.
That's,
yeah.
That's double time. And it's USB, too. And I was like, oh, my goodness. This thing is dog slow. But that scanner has treated me right and has been fantastic.
That is. Well, you know, and every time I come over here, you're always talking about, oh, just scan this in there, scan that in. And that's been sitting on your desk for a long time.
Man, it's got all sorts of crap piled on
and
top.
Well, that's
of
what
it.
I was going to say. Anything that can work for this amount of time with that much shit piled on top of it has got to be a good product. Right?
It's a fantastic product.
But on that note, we need to play our intermission song?
1 second. One comment I wanted to make.
Okay.
And I'll tell you something.
Only one, though.
About 6 years ago, I made that program, that virtual program for my daughter's first birthday, and I had to scan pictures in on my scanner.
Right.
I scanned in like 150 pictures in 2 days. And that was about the worst thing I've ever done on a computer. Scanning those images like that, it was horrible. It was my neck was hurting, my shoulders were hurting after that.
The one thing is, you know, if I was going to scan in that many pictures, and I do want to do the same thing Link was doing, I want to try to find the negative scanner and use that instead. Because then you're shooting, you know, 5 or 6 negative shots at a time.
Yeah, but then you have to, you know, transpose them from negatives to a regular image and all that other happy crap, right?
No, because I have an add-on.
Don't they have scanners that just have, like, picture feeders or some kind of crap?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you can get those, too, yeah. Because I have one on my scanner when it worked. It only worked in Windows anyway, so I can tell you it hasn't been used in, like, 8 years.
Uh-huh.
But it had an adapter that went over top of it that you slip the negatives into. And then there was a switch on there that you said you were scanning a negative in. It would scan a negative, but it would actually show up on the screen as being, you know, a normal looking picture.
Well, that means you have to have the negatives, right?
Well, yeah. Well, I have all my negatives.
Well, see, I don't have all.
I don't have my negatives either.
Yeah.
I'm lucky if I
the
have.
Hell,
you know.
Talking about? Now that's interesting. Would an auto feeder work on Linux?
I don't know.
I've never used an auto feeder like that before.
I haven't had one
to
try.
I've never seen one, so I don't know.
No, I've seen them. I've seen them before, but I don't know.
See, if I had an auto feeder on that, I couldn't store stuff on top of it. Or it would be a little more difficult,
because
they're kind of bulky.
You have to store stuff on top and around.
What?
You have to balance it on top of it.
Yeah. It sucks in, what, a bag. And it melts it to the... The worst thing is when you get, like, crayon or wax or something on the scanning window and... You got to keep that thing clean.
You think?
Yeah. Can't lick it.
To keep your
might taste good, but you can't lick it.
All right. Well, let's do this. Let's do the intermission song.
And it's not a good idea to floss over top of it when you're scanning.
We had. We've been talking for some time about, you know, if there's any people who have bands or anything like that they want to contribute some music to be played on the show and to be played on the open source stream, which we also need to talk about probably after the intermission. To, you know, give us a call and let us know. And we would hook them up.
Sick.
And one gentleman by the name of Chris, who was in a band called Dreamt Of by Armadillos. Dan messing around with a microphone again. Dreamt Of by Armadillos. Dan, you wouldn't have the URL for them, would you?
Isn't it www.ckk.com?
I think it's www.ckk.com or net or something like that. Anyway, we'll tell you when we get back after this.
Oh, if you go to any one of the credit lists, they're on there.
Right. But Dreamt Of by Armadillos. Chris,
no, we didn't play them this past week.
Okay, well, Chris sent us 6 CDs full of music by his band, Dreamt Of by Armadillos. And I picked out a song that we can play today called Chinese Pickle. But I wanted to tell you about it, tell you about these guys a little bit, first of all, because they have a very unique venue kind of going on. Normally, we play a lot of techno-oriented stuff on the show and on the stream and stuff like that as well. These guys, however, can best be described as, I guess, industrial fusion jazz. Okay, that's the best.
Sounds like a good one.
That's the best description I can give these guys. Very, very unique stuff. Not saying it fits my taste all the time, but it is very, very unique stuff. You got to check it out. I'm going to play for you right now Chinese Pickle by Dreamt Of by Armadillos, and we'll get you the real URL for these guys afterwards.
It's ckk.com.
Is it ckk?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, there you go. www.ckk.com. Check their stuff out. Here again, jumped of by Armadillo's Chinese Pickle. Pickle, 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 pickle.
Matt from Lugger Radio in the UK.
Oh, that is so jolly.
Who was that?
It's CBBC presenter.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm interviewing Blue Trunks.
I was doing my impression.
Anyway, we're Lug Radio.
I was doing my impression of Dan there because, you know,
it looks like
he's jolly when he does his. No, it's Alan who looks like Ack.
Which is what it looks like me?
Alan.
He doesn't look like me.
Lincoln's got the tall hat, so you remember.
Is his name actually Lincoln?
Lincoln.
Is his surname Lincoln?
No, his surname's Fessenden.
His name's not
no,
Lincoln.
No, it's Fessenden.
His name's Lincoln Abraham.
Link on.
The link on to Linux.
Link, anyway,
link,
again,
link,
we're Lug Radio.
Yeah, we're Lug Radio over in the UK. That's L-U-G.
D-I-O.org.
Friggin' British guys.
Come along to our website.
We're British as well. We drink. We like drinking.
Arr!
Cave! Don't run the time, brilliant!
Yarr!
Arr!
So anyway, we're going to have radio now, because we've only been given about 30 seconds. So come and listen to Lug Radio. Lugradio.org. I'm sure you'll like it. If you like the Linux link tech link show, I'm sure you'll like Lug Radio.
Hi, my name is Calico Jack, and the voices in my head listen to the Linux Link Tech Show.
And there you have it.
R.
We like drinking, too.
R.
Yeah, you like drinking wine coolers.
That's right. Yuppie drinks.
R.
Something, something. Say something, Alan. You always do. He's over there.
I'm
he's just freaking quiet.
So quiet,
you know what I mean?
Lately. I don't know why.
He's, like, introspective or something. You know?
No, I'm just, like, exhausted,
but
basically.
But he's not even really good at introspection because, you know, introspective people like to, you know, have some creative outlet for that. And if you notice, you look at his blog, and his blog is like, you know, September 21st of 1979 was the last time it was updated or something.
Yeah, well, no, I got Kismet running this week.
Yeah, weren't you paying attention?
Now, as soon as I get, like, a battery,
I posted that bumper sticker.
Minutes, we can go war driving.
Yeah.
So
did you get in on anybody's network?
Well, you can do. You
or
can
you just no,
yeah,
sniff
no,
them
I
out.
No, I have, my laptop is sort of like attached to the wall all the time. So
well, you
really
can war drive. You just have to go really,
really,
really fast.
Really fast. Yeah.
So
I was thinking of like grabbing one of my
15-minute battery. I mean, you got to book it good, man. You know.
Well, I figured, you know, I could just like take one of my UP because I can't afford to. I got to buy an inverter for the car, but right now I'm sort of out of money, so that's gonna have to wait. I figure I'd just like grab my UPS and I'd give me like, you know, 30 minutes or so.
There you go, yeah.
Go around the block a few times.
Do you know it actually works? If it actually works, your Kismet?
Oh, I mean, yeah.
You haven't tested it, have you?
Well, no, I've run it at home. I've picked up my own spot and I also picked up one of the PPL broadband.
But, you know, in order to have the GPS drive, don't you have to have a GPS receiver?
Oh, yeah, I have a GPS.
Listen to this, man.
We're set to go. I just
he's
need
got
power.
All the good toys, and he doesn't bring them over to play.
Have you hacked on into
well,
the,
I just got
the PPL broadband yet?
No, I haven't. Like I said, I saw them. I saw the signal, although it doesn't give me any IP address or anything, so I can't get into it yet. I just have to call them because actually I want to get the broadband. I have to call them tomorrow.
Give Arcee and the kiss of death.
Yeah,
huh?
But.
Pretty much does it on its own anyway. So,
I thought that when you got the signal from this broadband over power lines, you were actually getting it from a box that they put inside your house.
Well, yeah, they if I understand it correctly,
so if you're getting that
like
signal, yeah, but if you're getting that signal, that means they already have it available in your neighborhood, and
exactly.
Somebody has it.
Exactly. So that's why I have to call them.
Ah.
I just haven't had a chance to. I only found it out the last night.
It's
so.
Time to get the stick of Clue out and start whacking some people, I see.
Exactly.
Ha ha.
Yeah, the Kismet coupled with a GPS drive. The GPS drive reads the reads what's coming off the GPS unit. And every time it picks up a wireless spot, it marks it on the map.
You have a GPS unit, too?
Yeah.
See? Now, wasn't he just saying that I wasn't paying attention a couple minutes ago?
Well,
that was that what he was saying? I look, Link, you're not paying attention. What the hell are you? Yeah, and then here he is out there, you know, checking his Slashdot or some crap like that.
I figure.
Do you have a GPS?
It'll even be better because of the USB wireless dongle there. I can actually put that outside of the car.
He said dongle.
Dongle.
You hang yes. your GPS unit outside your car while you're driving.
No, the UPS
doesn't that get you cold, man?
Don't you get a chill there?
Woo.
No, the GPS unit can sit on the dash.
Oh, you hang the wireless card
outside
the car.
The dongle can go outside the car. I have a sunroof in my car.
I don't know
so
about
I
you, but I keep my dongle inside the car out there.
Yeah, it's all fun and games until it gets blown off of there. Next thing
well,
you know, you pull it back.
It's
just like
loop
the bait's gone on your hook. I haven't picked up anything in a while.
Yeah. No, I figured I'd like tie a string to the top of it or something or just tape it on.
You know, your luck, you know what's going to happen. A bird's going to crap on it.
Hey, it's better than the whatever.
So what would happen if
it
was parked in front of my house, man? Because I'll tell you what, the pterodactyls are in flight lately around there.
But it would be fun. Like I said, I just need to get like power in the car so I can like do it for more than 5 minutes.
Don't you, but... instead of getting a power inverter, don't they have, like I've seen them at Walmart or something, it's like a universal laptop plug or some crap.
Oh,
and
you
adjust
that,
you know, just a voltage thing on it, and you just, you know, comes with the little...
They have that at Radio Shack. It's
little
been
adapters,
on the radio. They've been advertising it.
Yeah.
Like a universal adapter for the lighter in your car.
Right, right, right. One of those.
Well, I'll have to find it. I hadn't thought about that.
But I'm curious to know if anybody's actually used one of those, you know, if they're any good or not, because I'm sure they don't take into account the amperage or something like that, you know?
Do you have a GPS unit, Alan?
Well, yes, I do.
Yes, but do you have a GPS unit? That's the question.
Well, that's fun, though, when you just do some war driving. And if you ever need to get on the internet or get something off the, you know, your workstation at home while you're driving your car, like, ha, I should have done this. You can just pull over and
jump right onto
that network.
That's right. Gee, we arrived. Forgot to send that email.
I did that a long time ago.
Now I'll be like, I haven't posted to my blog yet. I got to stop.
That will never happen, man.
Posting from such and such street.
That will never happen.
Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. You know, one thing I would like to throw some props out to was for an application, another application this week, is that free check application I just started messing around with.
This is the one that he was working on.
Right before.
Furiously, right before the show.
One of the reasons why I used to keep a Windows box was I started printing my own checks about 6 or 7 years ago using an application called VersaCheck, which I happened to get for free when I bought TurboTax at Staples 1 year. And it was a really nice application. And I've always wanted to switch over to Linux for check printing. And that's why I glommed on the GNU Cache back in the day. But then GNU Cache switched over. By the time they got check printing, GNOME 2 came out.
Right.
And GNU Cache was only working with GNOME 1.6. And since GNOME 2 has been out, GNU Cache still does not work with GNOME 2 yet. So it's been a pain in the butt. And to get it actually installed, you got to add all this extra crap, and I just haven't had the patience to do that. Well, anyway,
you've been using Checkbook Tracker, right?
Well, I've been using Checkbook Tracker for 3 years now.
I love Checkbook
Tracker. It's a great application. It's great. Yeah, it is. It's great. Anyway, I blew away the Windows box to make the honeypot out of it because I haven't written a check in like 3 months. Because I do all my bill paying online. Well, tomorrow we kind of have to write a check. And I'm like, oh, crap, I don't have any checks because I printed my own. Well, anyway, I went out and I figured, well, maybe I can get VersaCheck for Mac for the OS X. Maybe I can find it and download it. Well, they don't make it. It's not available. It's only available for the PC. So then I started looking around for check printing software for the OS X, and I wasn't having any luck. And I figured, well, why don't I just try Linux again? And I found an application called FreeCheck, and the URL is now on the chat.
Cool.
It's just simple application, but it does a fantastic job of printing out the checks. Downside is you have to have the fonts, those funky check fonts, whatever. But he makes that available for download, too. You just need to integrate it into GhostScript. And once you figure it out, it's really simple. You need to edit your fontmap.js file in the GhostScript library. And you just put in GNU MICR, which is the font name, and you point it to the actual font. And then you put the font into the GhostScript fonts directory, and you're good to go. It prints out great. It does a fantastic job. Kudos to James Clickman. Now, the last version, the 0.30, was released on October 17, 2002. It works with Slackware Current, so it's a really good, really great application. Fantastic job. I like it. I like it a lot.
And does that do all kinds of different, you know, because they have the different kinds of checks. The sheet. I know you use the sheet text, but they have the different kinds. You know what I mean? The different.
Yeah, you'd have to hack the configuration file. There's like a config file where you can set all that information up, spacing and everything.
They have stuff with tabs on the side and ones that are they print sideways and all kinds of
things. Right. So, yeah, you can, before you go and buy, if you're going to do this and buy blank checks, just check it out, do a test print, see what kind of thing it sets up by default. If you can find the checks, which I have, the wallet checks or whatever, it prints out just fine. But otherwise, you know, you're going to have to edit the configuration file to get the right parameters. It's not that hard, but it's not as easy as just chugging away, which is what I did because I have kind of check paper that accommodates it. So, really good. Free check. Check it out.
Might just have to do that. That would make, you know what, then I could send checks out and people could actually read them.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. And see, you know, my wife rips on me all the time about that. Oh, you can't write the check out because no one can read it. In her defense, though, you know, I really do have, since I've been working on computers for so long, I really have horrible, horrible handwriting.
You've forgotten how to write.
Yes. It's you know, somewhere in between, you know, a five-year-old and a chicken who you're training. So,
I lost the ability to sign my name shortly after I bought a house. By the end of all the paperwork I was signing, it was just like my name was just lines that went up and down.
Yeah, well, that's mine go at like a 45-degree angle, and I get like sort of the first letter impression, and then it's just get little some scribble kind of thing.
Yeah, squiggly. Oh my God, there's no heartbeat.
Yeah, I mean it's a definitive thing. You couldn't, like, no one in the world could, like, go and copy my signature and you
really
could tell
mine,
that it wasn't
mine.
Mine's
never the same twice.
Mine's a definitive set of scribbles, but it definitely is scribbles. But I don't know.
Chicken scratch.
So it's worse than that, man.
Chicken turd. Chicken turd scratch.
Something like that.
Chicken turd scratch.
It's a little something something.
Like that, y'all.
Yeah. Booyah!
Now,
hey, wait, one thing. No, wait. You were talking during the break, and you were saying something about the guys.
About Alan's Saturday.
No, not about that.
About the guys from the Lug Radio Show. They were cutting on my barbershop promo thingy.
I was asking whether, because I heard that.
And it is in there. What it is,
I
is
missed
like,
it.
What it is like. It's, I can't remember exactly where it is in there, but they're talking and they're, you know, they're going along talking, and then you know, they say Lug Radio and they all like make this really horrendously bad chord, and they're all, you know, they're all singing this little Lug Radio thing, and I, in my defense, like, number one, mine sounds better, and number two, I did every damn part by myself. So,
yeah, don't break your arm patting yourself on the back there.
That's right. It sounds like this. So there, damn it.
Well, you did an admirable job.
It was fun, man. A lot of fun. That's the fun that you can have when you have 20 spare minutes and you happen to have Resound, which is a cool audio program.
Yes, Resound. Now, I wonder if there's ever going to be a war between the Resound users and the Audacity users.
No, I like Audacity too, but Resound is way easier to get running on some machines. You know what I mean?
Uh huh.
Like my laptop, I can't get it running on there.
Well, Audacity.
I don't know if this is some kind of library problem or something like that. And you know, there's some other distributions where you have a hard time getting it running, but Resound seems to be able to get running really easy. You know, it's just a pretty much just a tarball package, right? You know, tar,
yeah.
Go in the directory, and there it is.
Well, you can compile it yourself.
But I think, you know, there are a lot of really good sound. We probably should have a show about that sometime, the different sound packages that you can have under Linux, Resound and Audacity. And there's another one called SND, which is a really old one, sound. And but it does, you know, they all, you kind of, if you're going to do a lot of audio editing stuff, you really have to have a lot of different ones available, because they all have really nice independent features of one another. So, some really interesting stuff. We really gotta, you know, we have to do. We have to get a hold of the guys over Lug Radio, and we have to.
We have
to have our no meeting show, so that we can rag on them about them editing their files under Windows.
What about the hybrid?
Yeah, we got the hybrid running.
So if somebody wants to call us.
We get the hybrid running. We gotta get a caller in here to test it out. And
the phone number is 610-861-1963. So if anybody wants to call. Now, shouldn't we have that disconnected from the...
I have it turned off right now.
Okay.
And then once it rings and we pick it up, we can...
Again, if you really want to try giving a call, well, it's 610...
Get Patrick to call. Patrick, why don't you call us up over
861-1963.
Here?
861-1963. Don't call me during the week. I won't
says,
be happy.
Yeah.
When we called during
he says he's calling now.
That's going to be the only mistake about this thing.
You just made a mistake because people are going to be calling you three times a day.
You know what?
Dan's going to have to change his phone number.
It beats
now.
The heck out of, you know, people could be calling me and leaving obscene messages or whatever.
At least they're Linux people, right?
Yeah. At least they listen to the show, not like the telemarketers. Not like Lynx Company.
Do you have your ringer turned off?
No.
Okay. Because Pat says he's calling now. Maybe he had to run down and get a phone or something. But yeah, we got to test this out. We got to have a caller call in, and we can all play this if the phone.
There it is.
All right, let me see if I can get it.
Hey, come on, get it before someone else in the house picks up.
Hello, is it Pat? Pat, it's Link. Hey guys, I got Pat on the phone. We're gonna try and patch him through now.
Drum roll, please.
Yeah, the drum roll. I'm going to pump you in. You're going to have to listen real hard because if you try and listen...
Not listen hard, real hard. Like with your ears.
Well, you're not going to get echo until 60 seconds later, man, because it takes a long time to put stuff through. But listen through the phone.
Now, this is going to usher in a whole new turn down your radio era, isn't it?
Turn down your radio.
All right, you ready? Here we go.
Is he there?
Start talking, man.
Hey, guys, how's it going? First call into the show, right.
You got to turn that up, man. I can't hear it.
Too low?
You have
can't to hear it. I can hear it.
I can barely hear it.
How about now?
Just keep talking.
Okay. Well, you guys were talking about our friends over at Loke Radio.
You got to turn it up even
I
more.
I can hear him fine. Can anybody hear him through the stream?
Doing a show at the same time?
I can hear him very.
It's very faint.
Too low, huh? How about now?
I'll keep talking, Pat.
Keep going, man.
I talk about some of the things I've been trying to do with the...
Oh, that works a little better when I put the headphones around my ears. Sorry, Pat.
I picked up a HotPog card, and I'm able to capture video in Windows. I haven't configured it yet in Linux, but I'm definitely going to do that pretty soon. Other people have talked about it. Basically, what it is there's a driver, the Ivy driver. And it seems to be very alpha at this stage. You basically got to download it and apply a bunch of patches to it and recompile the kernel. But supposedly it works. And then the other thing I wanted to do was author a DVD. I've been playing with QDVD author. Basically what that is, it's a QT front end for DVD author. I don't know if anyone's familiar with that. Basically it's a bunch of scripts that get generated, XML scripts for generating the DVDs, and what this thing does, it makes it a lot easier to generate the scripts. And what it does is it'll generate the scripts where you go in, you create backgrounds, the buttons, the like, and it'll generate the XML. I've initially tried and I had some problems with permissions running it as a regular user. But what I did was I exported the script out, and I ran it as a super user, and it worked pretty well, but I was getting some errors when it was generating the audio for the DVD. And I went trolling through the boards, and basically what happened was there's a known bug that on the last release that these guys found, where if you don't have an audio file, it'll crap out when it's generating the actual VOP files. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the types of files that are on a DVD. There's like VOB and a couple other different formats. That basically what it is, it takes the MPEG-2 video file, and then it'll generate a bunch of other files that are actually readable by standard DVD players. So, but anyway, I'm thinking of maybe trying the version that's currently on the CBS and storage.
You know what you should do, Pat, is get some, since you've been playing with this for a while, you should get some documentation put together for the rest of it. Because, like, I just got my first DVD writable.
Okay.
I got it for work the other day, and I haven't even had a chance to put it in and play with it yet.
The drives are really cheap now. Like,
yeah, this one was $80 or something like that.
Yeah, the single-layer ones, which I had, they're under $100 now.
Yeah, it was $80-something dollars for a DVD. It was every format DVD writer, every DVD plus minus read write kind of thing. And I haven't had a chance to play with it yet, but I'm really interested to do that. But, you know, since you've already been playing with this stuff for a while, you should put some documentation somewhere where we can all take a look at it and help us out a little bit, you know?
K3B supports data writing so far on DVD, and I've tried that. It's a rewritable disk, and they're doing a backup seems to work pretty well. But as far as a video DVD, I don't think they have the capability yet. They're supposedly going to put that on when the later release is coming up.
Huh.
So, K3B is really nice. I've used that quite a bit for, like, CD writing. You know, I'm lazy. I don't like doing, you know, everything manually. Who does, you know?
You're right.
We're all lazy. I mean, we're programmers, you know? What do? Take code that other people write and change it.
Right.
But, I mean, even in coding, it's supposedly K3B supports encoding now, too. Now, the biggest thing when you're doing video in general is encoding to MPEG-2, which is what the standard is now. You know, like, I picked up the Hopard card, and basically what that does is if you're taking a TV stream, it encodes it in real time. And that works pretty well, at least in Windows so far. But the problems that I've experienced is, you know, editing the MPEGs after the fact. Like, I tried authoring a DVD with Dualead. It came with the card, and it was crashing on me quite a bit, actually.
But that's, you know, that's Windows software for you right there, you know?
Yeah, this is Windows, like Windows 98, and I was able to author the DVD with no menus, with just chapter indexes, and that worked okay. And I tried to do something a little more complicated with, like, some sub-menus and some backgrounds and some music playing, you know, in the different screens of... And it was putting it together, it completely just died on me completely. You got a blue screen death a couple times.
It's a new thing for Linux, so I hope it gets a lot better.
It's very
specifically
new.
Before I start playing with it.
I know the guy who does the QDVD author, the project's only 6 months old.
Right.
I mean, what the guy's done in that amount of time is pretty impressive. And I'm sure it'll get better as it goes along. And I think as the tools are available, more people will migrate over. The same
awesome.
Thing goes for even, you know, audio recording.
Right.
You know, I know our door is the big recording application, and that's still pretty much alpha release right now.
All right, man. Well, we're kind of running out of time for this show, but I want to thanks for Rod calling in and being our very first guinea pig.
Cool.
Thank you, Pat.
It's
Thank
pretty
you.
Cool. Thanks, Pat.
Sounds,
good night, guys.
Now we're sounding more like the
All
Linux
right,
show.
Yeah, we actually have a call in. No.
Oh, you didn't ask him how the weather was.
Oh, he didn't ask. I forgot all about that. We could have talked about the weather for like 20 minutes, man. That would have been cool or something. Right?
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks again, Pat. Obviously, if you guys heard that, we did, you know, we, in some limited capacity, we have the hybrid working, which, you know, is pretty cool.
What's that buzzing on there?
Well, I think what it was like...
Well, what's,
you know,
the buzzing on there now?
It's the fans going through our microphones, dude.
Well, how come I didn't hear that before?
Because you weren't paying attention.
It's going now.
That's because you just took your earphones off.
You know, what we didn't... Yeah, thanks, Pat, for calling, because he's got some...
You didn't hear it before because you had your headphones on top
of
his head.
That's what I told him. His headphones are on top of his head, not in his ears.
Anyway,
we just need to have a little preamp in it.
Pat has a far more superior system than I do. with regards to doing the video editing stuff.
Oh, he's got all kinds of cool stuff.
He's got it's a really good setup that I am envious of, that I wish I could be able to be up there doing a lot of that video editing stuff with him. But my system just doesn't cut the mustard for that. And I look forward to the day when I do have a system that will be able to cut the mustard.
Your system, you just got a newer system.
Oh, yeah,
right?
It's still jamming pretty good now. It works great for everything I want to do except for the video
Pat
editing.
Pat says he's only at 800 megahertz, man. I thought, no way, Pat. No way.
That's only
I thought you were like 2.6 gigahertz or something
higher.
Like that.
Higher. That's only 7. Well, maybe then I'm going to have to swing over there and start doing some video editing stuff.
I don't know. All right, guys. Well, we're running over time again. And, we need
you know
to
what? We
end of show stuff thing.
We did, I've had posted on our the blog that we were going to cover Thunderbird because there was a new release of Thunderbird last week.
There's a new release of Thunderbird and a new release of Mozilla.
Right, but Thunderbird seemed to creep in under the wire there.
No, it was the day after Firefox.
I know, but there was a fanfare for Firefox, and there was like a big fanfare for Mozilla, but I didn't really know that the new Thunderbird was released until you called it to my attention.
You were picking your butt or something, man. There was all kinds of fanfare. I went on and grabbed it right away.
But I did not see it posted as widely, and it's not listed on Mozilla's site. Up in the top, where they say, oh, the new release of Mozilla, the new release of Firefox. Thunderbird never got up onto that list.
It should
releases.
Be, because Thunderbird is awesome.
The only thing
I
is,
started
like,
using it. I
did,
really like
when
it.
You upgraded, did you have to reconfigure it for your accounts?
No, what I did was I took, because when I installed Thunderbird, all I did was just untar it into my user directory.
Right.
So what I did was I took that Thunderbird directory that I already had, and I renamed it to, like, thunderbird.old or some crap like that. And then I just untarred the new Thunderbird up, opened it up, and started it right up. It grabbed all my settings from the previous one without me having to touch a thing. Because evidently there's a dot, like dot Phoenix or dot Thunderbird or dot something. There's a dot files directory structure underneath there. Keeps all your preferences and stuff. Didn't have to touch a thing. Grabbed everything, pulled it all in. Everything was happy.
Hmm.
Nice and cool and nifty.
And we still didn't get software patents.
No. Not yet.
And we didn't talk about Halloween 11.
Not yet.
Well, I guess maybe that'll be next week.
We're
going
to have something for next week, right? Something to start us out with.
Eventually, we'll get to our opinions on the patent situations that are going on, but there we go.
One of them days. Right?
Oh.
Alan's still quiet over there.
Alan says, patent what?
Patent, he's talking about shoes or something, right? Yeah.
Patent leather shoes. It's almost Saturday.
Something like that.
What's that on my chin?
It's my fish eyes.
Oh.
All right, everybody. That's it for this week. We're degenerating over here. I'm Link.
Oh, wait, I have a question.
Alan?
Did anybody listen to the stream this week?
I did just a little bit, but only after you told me that it wasn't running, so...
But did you hear Lug Radio on the stream?
Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Because the one time I listened, I didn't hear it, and I saw that there was an AUG error on it. Didn't like it, so I re-downloaded it. Just wanted to make sure it was playing.
No, after you mentioned that there's something wrong with it, I listened, and I heard it on there. So we should be good, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, good night, everybody.
And maybe Slug Radio will be out this week.
Maybe Slug Radio will be out this week. And we'll make sure we get that right on the stream. And until then, hang out and listen to the stream over there, the open source
Good
stream
night.
At the linuxlink.net /8000.
Good
night.
Night.
Good night.
Pulling up Link Tech Show. Pulling up Link Tech Show.